Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Omega Man Radio Show. Today is July 24th. It's 8 p.m. This is going to be a live program tonight. We're going to have special guest Dr. Pat Holliday from Miracle Internet Church in Jacksonville, Florida. She's going to be teaching on spiritual self-defense and talking about a number of topics, and then we're going to be doing a mass deliverance over the air. So this is something you don't want to miss. Go ahead and tell a friend, call all your loved ones, get your cup of coffee ready, and we'll be right back on the air with Dr. Holliday after this song. Here we go.
Messiah, Jehovah, the mighty God.
right. That was I Am by Dr. Pat Holliday. Beautiful song. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Omega Man Radio. We're going to have on special guest Dr. Pat Holliday. I'll be opening up the telephone line, so if you have a question for Dr. Holliday, the number to call in tonight is going to be area code 917-889-2745. And when you dial that number, if you'd like to ask a question, just press number 1 on your keypad, and that'll put you in the queue, and we'll bring you on the program. Okay, let me go right to the phones. Dr. Pat, are you there with me?
I'm right here. How are you?
Well, praise God. Welcome back on the show.
Oh, yes. I always enjoy your shows because you know so much.
Well, I'm learning like everybody else, but one day at a time, right?
Yes. You do so, well.
Yeah, it's always an honor and a privilege to have you back on. You know, folks, if you're listening, Dr. Holliday is one of the great pioneers in deliverance. And, you know, Dr. Holliday, there is very little teaching on deliverance today, and that's really sad. And I had a couple people email me really anticipating hearing you tonight, and they're dealing with different issues. And, you know, some of the basic questions that I'd like you to cover tonight are, you know, some of the foundations of spiritual, you know, self-defense, what Jesus meant by binding and loosing and so forth. You know, some of the fundamentals, but, you know, we're hard-pressed to get anybody to speak intelligently on this because they're certainly not preaching on this on TV.
I understand, and the reason that it isn't is because Christians are mainly into this playtime Christianity, and they are not seeking deliverance in America. Now, when you're over in Africa, they expect deliverance because they're in a witchcraft pagan country. And see, America has become a witchcraft pagan country in the last years because there's so many strange doctrines going around. So many people no longer read the Word of God. I call it Disney World Christianity. And so what happens is they want to build these great big mega churches. And so I call them entertainment clowns. These pastors that want to put ballroom dancing in their churches and yoga and all of these karate things and all of this stuff. And see, this stuff brings demons to people. We deal with them over in our church, and they come from other churches. And once they get demon-possessed, usually most of your pastors do not want to do anything about it. What they do is they want to send them to a psychiatrist who puts them on psychotropic drugs. And once they get on psychotropic drugs, man, I'm telling you, it's very, very difficult to get them off and to get them to stop because, you know, Americans look at doctors like they're gods. And they say, well, the doctor said that I'm bipolar and I have to take this. And so all it is a basis of cocaine, LSD, and heroin in some of them. And so it's like really street drugs. And so the person begins to enjoy it in the beginning. But once they get bound on that stuff, man, it's very difficult to get them to give it up. Very difficult. And so that's one of the problems that we're facing in the deliverance ministry today. And those particular drugs, once they get on them, you can't just take those people off of those drugs suddenly because they will get a shock to their system and they will commit suicide or they'll go out and do these mass murders that you've been reading about in schools. And all it is drugs. And so we're doing the best we can, but I'll tell you, people in America are really, really bound, and they're having a hard time. Our phone rings off the hook with people concerning the Kundalini spirit, because it's just all over the country, not only in the church, but it's also in the government. And they don't know what to do. There's hardly any place to go. And, you know, younger people need to get involved in the deliverance ministry, like yourself. You know why? Because it's radical.
Yes.
I was young when I got into the deliverance ministry, and it was very radical, and it was exciting because you got to see God do so many wonderful things. I've seen miracles all over the world. I've seen devils come out all over the world. And you know something? It's the same all over the world. It operates exactly the same way in the name of Jesus. And there's so much power in the name of Jesus. But you see, most of your Christians, the only thing that they know about the name of Jesus is to dial a television ministry or a radio ministry, and they'll say, well, if you'll send me your biggest dollar bill, I believe I can get a miracle for you. And they've mocked the people to the point dry that they have no trust in the name of Jesus or ministers. And see, the ministry is all about the power of God and the power that He wants to bestow on your life so that you can walk in freedom. When Mary Magdalene came to Jesus, you know, Shannon, she was a woman that was totally bound. I've had a lot of women like that come through our ministry. And when they go out into those loose lives of sex and drugs and occultism, you have to drive those devils out of people like that, or they cannot serve Jesus with peace in their minds. And so once you drive the demons out and teach them how to defend themselves, then they're able to stay free. And see, Mary Magdalene, she came and she sat at the feet of Jesus and she followed Him very, very closely for the rest of her life. And what we have in our American churches, people want to play and they want to be free and have the benefits of being a Christian too. And so they'll come over when they get very tormented and they'll ask you to do deliverance, and we never refuse anybody. And as soon as they think that they're free, then they go running back to the playtime, Better Homes and Garden Churches, and get repossessed again. And see, every time that they go through deliverance, the Bible says that those spirits go to the dry places, and then they come back to see if that person is filled with the things of God. And if they're not, they just come back and bring seven worse devils with them. And so it sometimes becomes a cycle, particularly with some deliverance ministries, because they think their only function is to clean the sheep. But you not only have to clean the sheep, but you have to teach them how to stay clean and how to be strong in the Lord. So it's an interesting ministry. And in America, I think it's a precise ministry because, as you said, when you started the program, you said there's not many people in it. And that's because the television ministries never had deliverance ministries on there to teach the body. And we brought Bishop Kanko over from Africa. He's the most powerful deliverance minister that I personally have ever met.
Yes.
And we got him on Sid Roth, and then from Sid Roth, within several weeks, that he went up to TBN. He got on TBN one time. Here in Jacksonville, we couldn't get a door open for him. A large door open for him. He got a few doors open in Atlanta and here and there and about. But you see, if there's no demand, the preachers are not interested in it, and they're not interested in plowing a field for it, because they want a crowd. And sometimes it scares people to hear that the devil's real, and particularly when you're a woman and you tell them, oh, I can cast out devils. And I have for 35 years or more. I've had people to come in, or I've gone into churches, seen great big old 6'6" men walk in, totally demon-possessed, put them right down on the floor in the name of Jesus.
Wow.
And cast the demons out of them. When I went to Africa, Bishop Kenko said, now, Dr. Holliday, you see that man over there? He's from the United States, and he's into drugs. And it takes 10 of my men to hold him down to the floor. He said, now, don't you go around him. Well, when I got under the anointing, he started manifesting, and I just ran over to him and grabbed him by his stomach, put him down on the ground, and put my foot on his stomach and cast the demon out of him. Bishop Kenko said, I've never seen anything like that before. And coming from a white woman, too. And so it's not what sex we are, or how big we are, or what our name is, or how much we know. It's how much we know Jesus. And you see, I've always had to be trained by Jesus, because there were no schools in the country. And in addition to that, I, for many years, never had any men. We always had women prayer meetings before we started the church. And so we had to depend on the power and the anointing of God. So I never had people to hold people down to the ground like a lot of them do.
And I was thinking about you, in fact, the other day as I was reading over the New Testament about Apostle Paul. I don't know if it was in 1 Corinthians or in Galatians, but you know, he was saying, you know, hey, when I came to Jesus, I didn't have the benefit of going in, you know, and studying under the disciples' feet. You know, he went over to, I believe it was Syria,
right,
for a couple of years. He was on the backside of the desert, and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ taught him. And I think that's the best way, because when you're taught directly from the Lord, you don't have to filter out a lot of man-made doctrine in the process.
Well, that is if you stay very close to the Lord, because if you go around to a lot of these churches, you'll get filled with Kundalini spirits, and you'll get filled,
yes,
with false doctrines. And see, what happened to me was I was rejected by the body of Christ from the moment I got born again. I came out of politics, and I lived in a very exclusive area of Jacksonville, and 1 week I was going to the Capitol and going to the inaugurations of the presidents and the state inaugurations of the governors, and the next week I was born again and being rejected totally by the body of Christ, because they had never seen a woman like me before. You see, I had run the state legislature, and so I was a conservative woman, but when I came into the body of Christ, most of your women were walking around in submission to those men, and I didn't know what submission was, because I was used to sitting at tables with men and joining in the conversation and being equal. And so I was immediately rejected, and then the pastors, because I was different, you know, some of them started saying, oh, that woman's a witch, or she's a woman's liber. Oh, I think she's a lesbian. I've been called everything
Good
in
grief.
The book, everything. And so what the Lord did for me, he told me to open up my house for a prayer meeting, which I did. And he brought people from two or three counties away, and they'd just come knock on my door, and I'd open the door and look at them, and they'd say, are you Pat Holliday? And I'd say, yeah. And they'd say, Jesus told me to come here. And then I'd sit down and he'd tell me what to do. And so that's the way I learned the deliverance ministry and the miracle ministry. And I never ministered much around Jacksonville, Florida. I was totally rejected here, still am. And whenever the Lord opened a few doors around this country for me, I began to think, my God, people like me. You know? But I've never been sorry for what I've done in the ministry because it's been wonderful.
Clearly, you're not in it for the money because if you were, you'd be teaching a whole different doctrine. And that's why we don't see it on mainstream TV. We don't hear it preached in the church because if you start preaching that Christians can be demonized and who our true enemy is, it causes people to get angry at you. And they will put money in the offering plate.
It's the demons that are mad, and I can tell you, my husband, we used to live in a very exclusive area in Jacksonville, and when my husband died, you know, I took my inheritance, and I went out for Jesus, because I really didn't have, I had very little support to be financial support, and still do, as a matter of fact. And I spent my inheritance going around casting out devils and going to Africa and doing the things that I do. And I've never been sorry for what I've done. The man right behind us has a great big old jet plane and 5,000 people sitting in his church. And we sit there and pray every little soul into our church. But, you know, Jesus, I always remember that painting with Jesus with the little lamb around his neck, you know. And he cares about every single person. They're precious to him. And there are people that come to me that would be kicked out of most of the churches because some of them, I've had people to come to us that come right out from underneath the bridges, you know. And I've never been sorry. Money is just paper. And it's going to burn, and one day we're all going to walk down the streets of gold. That's what the Bible says. So it's just pavement, but Jesus is God. So that's the most important thing in my life. And I wanted to mention something. You know, I heard Pastor Dennis Williams a couple of weeks ago, and he's my associate pastor, and he did such a wonderful job.
Praise God. Yes, it was a great program.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he really is a great guy, and I just did want to mention that before we go on.
Well, I wanted to say that when I had a chance to visit in Jacksonville and come out and be in service at the Miracle Internet Church, I tell you, that was the first church that I had ever been in personally where I had seen deliverance firsthand. And I was raised in the church. Both my grandfathers were Pentecostal ministers. And I'm ashamed to say that, but I never saw deliverance growing up. Yet that's at least one-third of Jesus' ministry. And so it's a shame, but deliverance is the children's bread, but it doesn't seem that most of the children out there are getting their bread.
Well, you know, I came through the charismatic movement, and within about 6 months, the Lord moved us into or moved me into Pentecostal churches. And I've been in Assembly of God, Pentecostal Holiness, and Church of God, those three. And pastors would let me minister, but usually I would be put down in the basement. And when somebody had a demon problem, they'd send them to me. They never tried to open up my ministry to the country. They never told anybody that I was a powerful deliverance healing minister. And so for many years, I just ministered in little tiny prayer meetings in little churches around Jacksonville. And so one time at one of the Church of God, the pastor's wife came in to my prayer meeting, and she said, you know, Pat, she said, I grew up in the church. And she said, we used to stand outside the windows and look in the windows and see the pastors casting devils out. And she said, your ministry is like old-time Pentecost. That's what she told me. And see, I've never changed. I just keep on going and doing what God's taught me to do. And if there's one there, we will minister. If there's 10, we will minister. It's just in God's hand. But it makes your heart break when you see the condition of the churches in our nation. And you see people running after a man that looks like a motorcycle Hell's Angel with a body tattoo on him, and calling up Kundalini snake devils and calling himself a healing ministry, and people getting demon-possessed every time he lays his hands on them. And then seeing primary, strong, popular, well-known ministry support a ministry like that, but they would not be caught dead with me in a restaurant. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. I haven't ever cared about that. But I'll tell you one thing. When I go into Africa, they beg me to come over there. And the pastors treat me with great respect, and they reverence the deliverance ministry, because apart from the deliverance ministry, they know that they would have no church over there. Because when they come out of that deep witchcraft powers like Bishop Kenko did, by the way, we're getting Witch Doctor and the Man published, and we're going to have it in pretty soon.
Oh, fantastic.
It'll be soon. We'll come on and let them know. But Witch Doctor and the Man in the City Under the Sea is real. And, you know, we publish our books. We can't get them published in the Christian publishing houses. The stores won't handle them. The printing companies don't want them because they're real. They're genuine. These are things that are supernaturally real. And the
yes.
body of Christ in our nation is just absolutely starving to death. And the deliverance ministry is not the only thing. I've been in churches in America, gone in and seen every single person healed, get every single person, get a miracle.
Wow.
And leave the church and sell some of my deliverance books there, to have the pastor stand up and say, oh, we don't want a deliverance ministry here. We've got everything we need. And so it's the pastors that have put the fire out in the churches, in particularly the deliverance ministry. And I love them. I pray for them. We have an intercessory prayer group on Friday nights, and we pray for the church in Jacksonville and across this country. I love pastors. I know the price that they pay, but I also know the price that the poor little people are struggling with
yes.
devils tormenting them day and night, putting cancers on them, making them sick, making them deformed, doing all kinds of things to their minds. I love the people, too. And so I've just made my choice that I'm just going to reach out and help the people. And if they reach back to me, I reach to them. And that's
Praise
just
God.
The way it is. That's
Dr.
the
Pat,
way it goes.
Go ahead and give out your websites for people just tuning in where
okay.
they can go and hear some of the sermons and also get a hold of your e-books.
Okay. My website is http://www, and it's miracleinternetchurch.com. And we have a lot of free sermons up there, free television shows, free DVDs, and newsletters. The only thing we sell up there, we do sell our e-books to try to take care of our local church here. And I'm going to tell you the reason that we put that church up there. Actually, it was Pastor Dennis's idea, was because we have such a burden that people are not getting fed in America. We get calls where people have just streamed out of churches and they're sitting at home and they're listening to the Bible and reading the Bible and trying to stay alive because of the playtime Christianity. And so we decided that we would put up some of our stuff on the internet, and so we just called it Miracle Internet Church. They can get sermons on deliverance, miracles, on doctrines, on all kinds of things. And I'm just as pleased as punch with that website. I also have a website called patholiday.com. But God is good to us. We're not multimillionaires or anything like that, but we're going to have a great meeting with Jesus when we get to heaven, because I believe that if you're carrying the true gospel today, I believe that you are suffering for that cause.
Yes.
You're not popular. In fact, you wrote me not long ago, and you had shared a couple of things with some friends of yours, and they just dropped you because they didn't want to hear the truth.
We got a term going around. It's called being thrown under the bus. And, yeah, I've had some that have thrown me under the bus and then backed over me a couple of times, left me flat like a pancake. Just to what you said, when you're preaching the truth, whether it be deliverance, repentance, you know, the time is short before the return of Jesus, people don't want to hear that. They want to be confronted with their own sin and their flesh, and they get upset with it. Because
the TVs and all, they make it a fun-type Christianity where all you do is watch the minister bounce all around, make little jokes, stand up there and say, "Now listen, go ahead and send me all the money, the biggest bills. Come on, God's going to pay your mortgage off." And they've been taught to send everything they have to those ministers while they fly in their jet planes. TBN has 50 mansions across the country.
Wow. Good
and Joyce Myers has 5, and plus a jet plane that she ordered a $30,000 golden toilet seat for. And we have
more believable, I think it was too.
Yeah, and see, we have to pray every person into the church, and then we have to pray our light bills to come in. It's that way. But God always helps us. But the truth is, what we see, they have never seen the things that I've seen. I've seen enough to last 50 lifetimes of the glorious things that I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ do. I saw him one time in miracle. He brought this little lady in, and she had an eye ball, and it had just floated over to the left side of her face and froze there.
Good grief.
And she was a former pastor and had gotten off into sin. And so I cast the demons out of her. Of course, Christians can't have devils, you know. But I cast the demons out of her. Oh, I forgot. Women pastors can. I cast those devils out of her.
Yes.
And I put my hand on that eye. And I just said, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." The eyeball floated to the center of her eye. And it circled around and around a couple of times, and it settled. Well, the next week she came back and she said, "I want you to know that I can see. I couldn't see." And God healed her eye. He healed her soul, her spirit, and her flesh. And that's the way the Christian church is supposed to operate.
Yes.
We're not supposed to be saying, "God, if it's your will, would you please heal so-and-so?" No. God is a healing God. That's because he died on the cross to do that. It says, by his stripes we're healed. It says, cursed is he that hangeth on the tree, for we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And he says, oh, you foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who bewitched you to believe that psychics and witches and wizards could come and give you your fortune and heal you, but a saint of God is helpless? Because if they operate in the supernatural ministry, why, that's of the demons, that's of the devil. And you see, the devil is a liar and the father of it.
Yes.
And so God wants people to know that he loves them, and he suffered on the cross for their cross, for their cause. And his back took 39 stripes. And he said that he came, the reason he came was to set the captives free. And he said, and you shall do greater works than I. You shall lay your hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You shall cast out devils. And let me tell you something. Devils flee from me. I've walked into churches and seen them get up and fly out of the church in absolute terror. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to be scared of the devil. He's supposed to be scared of you. And believe me, I've never seen one that I've run from yet. But let me tell you a little story. I was ministering a couple of counties over one time, and this man came in, and he walked down the middle of the aisle, and I was standing up in the pulpit, and he says in a loud, gruffy voice, he said, what are you doing in that pulpit?
Uh-oh.
I said, I'm preaching the gospel. He said, women are not supposed to preach, and I command you to get out of that pulpit. And I said, and in the name of Jesus, I command you to shut up. And he said, look, you think I'm demon-possessed? He said, I've been up to Win Worley's. I said, well, if you've been to Win Worley's, how come you got those cigarettes in top of your pocket there? He said, oh, so you think I'm demon-possessed, huh? He says, you come on down here and cast it out. And I said, I'll do it. And about that time, I looked up, and the preacher and all of the elders had run out of the church, and they had their head cocked around, looking around the corner to see whether I was going to get murdered or not. And I went out and I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to sit in that pew right now. He sat down. I cast that devil out of him. He threw those cigarettes down on the floor. And the next night, he brought a friend who was an alcoholic that got delivered. That's church.
Praise
That's
God.
The way, except for the pastors and the elders running out. That's church. That's the way it's supposed to be. But you see, people are afraid of demons in America because the pastors are afraid of demons in America. And so you mentioned Pat Holliday. Said, oh, we don't want to go over there to Miracle. That woman sees a demon under every tree. Well, chances are I do, because that's where they are. They're sitting right there in the churches all
They're
over
so
the country.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a dog that has been playing outside and picks up fleas.
Yeah.
It just gets covered in fleas so bad that, rather than the owner spraying them and killing the fleas, they just keep growing and growing, and they're infested.
That's exactly right.
I'm going to be straightforward here. Most churches are demon-infested. If you were able to see in the spirit, you would see people on pews, and you'd have one person with a demon on both sides. The demons go to churches? Absolutely. When the truth is not being preached and there's no deliverance.
I had a woman deliverance minister call me yesterday, and she said this man came into her church, and he was helping her around the church, and she could see this snake devil in him. So she sat down and she was talking to him. She said she saw the snake devil come out of him, and
wow.
It came over to her chair and it started running around and around the chair as quick as it could go. And she bound it. And the Lord said, it wanted to get into you, but it couldn't, honey. You see, demons can't touch you unless you let them touch you. And if you're holy, and if you know your defensive warfare,
yes.
And you know how to defend yourself, and you are dependent on the name of Jesus, I tell you the truth, Jesus is able to protect you. He really and truthfully is. And the devil, well, he's just a liar. And you're either going to believe the devil. Let me tell you what Bishop Kenko told me. He said that as a wizard, he said the devil would send them to Christians right after they would get saved. He said to try to make them stumble and fall back. He said they couldn't get but within 500 feet of them. Now, this is right after they get saved. He said that a Christian has an angel on the right side and an angel on the left side, and they have this flame that's going around and around in front of the Christian. And the demons can't get any closer than 500 feet. He said, so as wizards, we would watch them. That was our job. He said, we would watch them. And if they grew cold on the Lord, he said, we'd start edging closer and closer to them. He said, as they got into deeper sin, he said, those angels, those arms of the angels and the swords would go slower and slower.
Oh.
He said, finally, when it got to the point that it would go so slow that the fire would be up and there was an opening, he said, we would send the demons into them and they would run in and take them over.
Wow.
Now, that's protection. God has us protection. But we have to do our part by living holy and close to the Lord and trusting the Lord and being free ourselves.
Yes.
And so it's not easy for Christians to get possessed. But I've seen Christians get repossessed.
Yes.
I've seen them come in adultery and commit, cast the demons out and for them to go back. And get repossessed. I've ministered to pastors in adultery. And there was one pastor that that's part of my job. The Lord told me that he was going to be sending pastors to me for the end time ministry to get free. And so this man was in his car on the way to kill his oldest son. And he said that the Lord spoke to him and said, son, if you do that, I will never speak to you again. He said, well, what should I do? He said, go over to see Pat Holiday. So he came over, and I led him in forgiveness for his son. I led him all the way up to where to cast the spirit of unforgiveness and bitterness and stuff out of him. And I said, now you just go ahead and take a deep breath and blow that out. He said, he tightened his lips shut, and he wouldn't make a move. And later on he told his daughter, he said, I wasn't going to do that. He said, that's not in the Bible. Well, let me tell you what ended up with that man. He ended up a practicing wizard, a former pastor. And so, you know, they think they know, but they don't know, and they won't be taught. It's really an unteachable ministry.
They've got an unteachable spirit.
Yeah.
They've got a spirit of pride that, you know, they know everything that that is contained in the Word. And I think a person talks like that is just plain foolishness, because there's always something to learn. And there's so many layers to the Word of God. If someone truly opens the Word of God and can claim that they're not learning something new since the last time they read, then I would worry about that person. Every time I get into the Word, I realize how little I know, and that's where we got to keep putting the Word of God into our memory banks. Keep, you know, renewing our minds.
Well, that's the truth.
I wanted to jump right into a question many have asked that I bring up with you. Can you tell us a little bit about what Jesus meant when he says to Peter and to the church after, I give you the keys to the kingdom, binding and loosing?
Oh, yes.
What is binding and loosing that Jesus was talking about?
Yes. Well, you see, there's two spirits. There's the spirit of God and there's the spirit of the devil. And so what Jesus was telling his disciples was that I give you authority over these devils, this other kingdom. And he said the keys to bind, the word bind actually means to tie up. And what he said in Matthew 12:22-33 is, he said, before you go into the battle, the first thing you have to do is to bind the strong man.
Yes.
And so the strong man is Satan himself, plus it can be the principality that the demon is taking orders from, because they have a kingdom. And in that kingdom, it's very well organized. And they have to obey. The demons have to obey. And so the first thing you do in the deliverance ministry is you bind the strong man. You bind Satan. Then you bind the powers and the principalities over the person, over the church that you're ministering in. You bind the powers and principalities from the underworld, which is the ground that they're standing on. You can bind the powers and the principalities from the seas and the lakes and the streams around where you are. And what you've done when you say, I bind the powers, Ephesians 6:12, 6:10, around in there, I bind the powers and the principalities, I bind the wicked evil spirits, the rulers of darkness. Once you've done that, those spirits have been deactivated. They cannot move. They cannot reinforce the powers of the demons that you're going to be working with. If you're casting devils out of a person, they deactivate, and then you're free to deal with what's in that person's vessel.
Yes.
If you're tackling demons in a church, well, let's just say that you bought a new building. You go in, you anoint the building. You do the same thing as if you're casting demons out of a person. You bind the powers, the principalities, and do the same thing, and you've bound those devils, you cage those devils, and you command them to go to the feet of Jesus to be tormented before their time.
Yes.
So what you've done is you have arrested those devils. Now, people say, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't matter whether they believe it or not. It's true. I have cast demons out all over the world, and I'm telling you that is exactly what you do, and that's what Bishop Kenko does. And Bishop Kenko and I never saw each other until year 2000, and he was way over in Africa doing the same things I'm doing over here.
And absolutely. So, that's the authority Jesus gave us to bind these foul spirits. And so what's actually happening, folks, is when you bind a strong man, which will be the power demon or ruler demon in a person, you're handcuffing him, and you bind these demons underneath him in Jesus' name. They're frozen, they're handcuffed, and you command them to be caged up in Jesus' name.
And you're spoiling them. You're spoiling their power. And that scripture describes you going in to plunder, to snatch away their goods. So you're going in to take away everything inside of them that they've accumulated. Now, one of the things that people, Christians, don't understand is that in the spiritual realms, as we gain power with the Holy Ghost, what happens is in the demonic realms, they gain power in the unholy ghost. And the more demons that they have, the more power that they get. And so that's why sometimes you can find what we used to call human chalices. And they would come into a meeting where deliverance is going on, and they would sit in the back of the church, and when you would call the demons out of the person, the demons would go back to the Satanists or the witch or the wizard, and they would go into that vessel like a human chalice. And the more demons they have, the more power they have. Now, here's the wonderful thing about Christianity. The more that you understand your faith in Jesus, the more you understand his power and his authority, the more power you have. And so, therefore, you and Jesus, according to the word, makes a majority.
Praise God.
You and one person make a majority. And so the tying up of the demon. Now, the theory of that is that in most of your deliverance books, your manuals, we call them, you will see links, let's just call them houses or principalities. I'll just do one of them for you to show you. You'll see spirits of bondage. Let's do spirits of bondage. Well, spirits of bondage would be the primary devil. That would be the ruler spirit in the vessel. And it's shown over in Romans 8:15. Well, connected to that spirit, like roots of a tree trunk, you would find servant of corruption. I'm not going to bother. I have the scriptures, but I'm not going to bother for lack of time. Addiction, drugs, and alcohol, bondages to sin, compulsive iniquities, fears, fear of death, and general fears. Now, see the spirit of bondage, and then in the deliverance, you would take all of those spirits and connect them to the spirit of bondage, and then you command them to go into the cage, and what would happen, you can instantly set that person free of all of those spirits at one time.
Okay, so let me paint a scenario here for you. Let's say there's someone out there listening who's a believer. And I say believer because, folks, to be able to bind and loose, the prerequisite is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's a privilege you get as a born-again believer. So let's assume, Dr. Pat, that there's someone listening and they say, well, I've got a loved one or a friend who clearly is demonized. They're bound with, you know, different addictions and... you know, they're just causing me a lot of grief. I'm being attacked all the time. And could that person take the authority over those demons, say, and even do it long distance? So let me just say this person's out of state that they want to pray for. Could I say for my friend, you know, in Jesus' name, I bind the strong man in that person. In Jesus' name, command him to go into a cage? Now,
yes. And here's what you can do. See, you have to differentiate between a Christian and a non-believer for this reason. if you can make demons go out away and out of anyone,
okay.
But if that person doesn't fill themselves with the things of God, they just get worse off. And so if you're praying for your son or your daughter or your wife and they're not saved, what we tell you to do is you take authority over those demons that's in that person and bind them and cage them.
Yes.
Now, you don't drive them out if they're not a believer, and you don't drive them out if the person isn't in agreement with you to do so. Because
right.
They'll just go back. If they're in adultery and you drive an adultery demon out, he's just going to go back and do it again, and he'll be worse off.
And he'll bring seven more powerful, right? So
exactly.
The key is you bind them, meaning you handcuff them, you put them into a cage. They're going to remain in that person, but they're going to be kind of boxed up over to the side, and that person's going to be able to get some relief, and so will you. Now, I mean,
what you've
say,
done is you have stripped the demon of his weapons.
Okay.
And the way you strip when you strip the demon of the weapons, you see there's two forces in a person. The force of the person's flesh and will, and then the force of the demon. Now, when the person first starts to sin, it's their flesh that craves the sin. But once they get to a certain point, little door opens, demons come in, and then the demons drive them to sin, and they can no longer not sin. And so what you've done is you've deactivated the demon driving them to sin,
okay.
And then you pray for them, but you still have that person's flesh involved.
Yes.
Now, as your prayers go for them, then the Holy Ghost goes to them, convicts them of their sin, and draws them into the kingdom, and then you can cast the demons out of them.
Okay, so for example, there's a Christian listening right now, let's say, who's married to an alcoholic. Their spouse will not come to Christ, and they're getting abusive. They could take authority over that demon in Jesus' name and command the strong man and that spouse to be bound up in Jesus' name.
Yes, yes. And let me tell you, there was a lady many years ago in my prayer meeting, and I taught her the power of the name of Jesus and binding devils. And I said, just pray that every day in your prayer. Her husband was beating her and drinking alcohol. And one day she came to the meeting and she said, my husband has stopped beating me. And every night when he comes home, he leaves the bottle of alcohol outside on the doorstep. And so she had successfully over time bound those devils up, and they were obeying her. And but the husband was still drinking, but he wasn't bringing them in the house, and he wasn't beating her. And so then she continues to bind and do the warfare, and eventually he gets healed. I mean, gets saved.
Okay, then let me throw another one at you. I turn on the TV sometimes, and I see some of these immoral politicians.
Yes.
I'm just going to go ahead and call one of them out. His name is Barney Frank. He's a flaming
yes.
homosexual.
I know him.
So now, could I bind the demons in him and cause him a little bit of grief?
We do supernatural worldwide spiritual warfare all the time. I have just a little tiny group of people that meet with me. We have absolutely destroyed plots and plans of worldwide devils by doing spiritual warfare and binding the devils. One of the things that the Lord had us doing is with this new NWO, New World Order thing.
Yes.
There's people in charge of that, and they're being driven by devils.
Yes.
And so we encircle them with the blood of Jesus. Now, you know what a circle is. So what you've done is you say, I encircle that person with the blood of Jesus. That person's an evil wizard.
Okay.
And so then you command the devil that he's trying to put on you and the world. you command those devils to go into civil war. And then day and night, instead of those devils serving that person, they have the battle of their life. We just did that last night. They're all meeting out at the Bohemian Grove.
Oh, that's right. It's that time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, the 21st and all of this week. And we confuse the devils from knowing what we're doing and saying in the name of Jesus. I speak to you in a parable like Jesus did.
Yes.
But we encircled each one of them, and all of the plots and plans that they're unleashing over the world, we encircled each and every one of them and sent those devils into spiritual civil war. And I believe you're going to see some changes. We've seen changes in Copenhagen fell. And we've seen plots and plans that they've made just fall to the ground when we've done supernatural spiritual warfare to bind up the powers of Satan to loose the power of God. Now, when you bind up the powers of Satan at the same time, you release prayer warriors in the field. You release knowledge to go forth to the intercessors. You ask God to pray his mind to the intercessors. You ask God to teach them how to intercede. And the next thing you know, we win. And we've won a lot of battles. And particularly since OB has been in office. A lot.
Okay, that's
battles.
A good question. Can we have strong men that are attached to geographical locations or even buildings? I mean, could we have a strong man right now that's attached to the White House?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what could we do to help our president out there who's clearly in an environment over there where there's some demons prowling that White House? I know that... one of the family members over there is comes out of Santeria, so was actually doing witchcraft in the probably
yes.
in the Oval Office. So, what could we
yes.
do to help them out a little
yes.
bit?
Well, what you have to do is to see what is the purpose of demons over territories.
Okay.
And the purpose of demons over territories is to take the territory, and they either take it for the demons take it for Satan. Our Christians take it for God. And now let me give you an illustration. When Paul went up to Mars Hill, Paul walked into their temple and he looked around and he saw every god under the sun, every statue, and he even saw a god to the unknown God. And his heart was stirred in him with grief because he could see an instant picture that they were all going to go to hell, and he had the truth. So what Paul did is he stole the territory from the devil. That's what evangelists do all the time. When they go into Africa or some foreign place to evangelize, they do intercessory prayer. They bind the powers and the principalities, as I just described to you, and instead of binding them over one person or a church that we've already talked about, we're going to bind them over the Capitol or Washington, D.C., or we're going to bind the spirit of communism over our nation, and we're going to forbid it to go forth. Well, Paul, in turn, whenever he saw what he saw. He prayed. He spoke the word of the Lord. The people received the Lord and people got saved. That's spiritual warfare.
I'm going to step out here, Dr. Holliday.
Okay.
I get a bunch of emails from people out there, and they've got me on their email blast, Tea Party updates. I would suggest, folks, that the best expenditure of your time, those of you that know what's going on with the New World Order plan, and by the way, I want to shouts out to friend Clay Douglas in his magazine that did more to expose the New World Order than any other thing that I've ever read in the last decade. My point, though, I'm trying to make here is I'm going to step out and say that, folks, rather than get tied up in all these tea parties, okay, you can get out there and carry your protest sign, and okay, that's okay to do. But if you really want to have an impact against the New World Order, start binding and loosing. Get up every morning and start binding these demonic powers, because one person can make a difference, and you can bind and loose from any distance, and you can target organizations, people who are under demonic power that are getting their instructions from Satan, and you've got authority as a believer to bind those strong men and those demons operating in and around those people in Jesus' name and cage them up. And you can do more damage to Satan's plan than you can trying to get out there and hold a sign at one of the Tea Parties. Because if you go to Tea Party, probably the only thing you're going to accomplish is get on one of the red and blue list.
Well, let me tell you something. When I was a baby Christian is when Jesus taught me spiritual warfare. And I was fighting against the ERA. I was the key debater in North Florida. And the Lord, we went down to Orlando, Florida. Jimmy Carter and his wife and all of those liberal people had given the women liberals $3 million to fight against us. And the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, and he said, go next door and get those Baptists and tell them you want to pray with them. So I went next door, and they didn't know what I was doing. But I started binding up the devils in the name of Jesus that he showed me to bind.
Yes.
And he told me to bind the powers of witchcraft. And so we came down to the meeting that morning, and we destroyed that meeting. We ended up, I can't go in, it's a long story, but we destroyed that meeting to the point that those women libbers sitting up at the platform could not think, could not make a decision, and they finally, they were lawyers and doctors, and they finally got up and went out of the meeting and stayed out until a quarter to one. They couldn't do any business. They came back and elected the ones, announced the people that had won to go to Dallas or wherever they were having the meeting, and they could not take a vote from Florida to Dallas because we destroyed them in prayer.
Those demons will turn on each other, Dr. Pat. I talked to a brother the other day. He was over ministering in Russia, and he said he was coming back, and he hit the subway over there. And he said he had people that were demonized that came right up to him and just challenged him. And he just held his tongue there for a minute, but he said two lesbians came over and started to taunt him, and so he just said, I bind you in Jesus' name. And he said it wasn't long before those two girls that wanted to attack him all of a sudden started to turn on each other and attack each other.
Yeah,
that's what it'll
do,
is it'll cause those demons to just tear on each other, won't it?
That's right. They have to perform what they are sent to do. I'll tell you, communism in Russia fell because of Christians praying. There was a man from Germany that went over to Lenin's tomb with a little group of Christians. And they went in there, and they did spiritual warfare. And they went there purposely to bind the idol of Lenin. And they bound that idol, and shortly thereafter, the entire communist government fell. Because he was their idol of worship.
Yes.
I mean, I've got some newsletters up on my website.
Go ahead and give your website out again for people just tuning in.
It's miracleinternetchurch.com, and they can also find some letters at remnantresourcenetwork.org.
A lot of people I see just popping in right now and listening. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Dr. Pat Holliday. This is the Omega Man Radio Show. Check out Dr. Pat's websites and get a hold of her free audio material. And you can download some of the most powerful deliverance tools and weapons you can ever lay your hands on other than the Word of God. And that's in the way of her e-books. And Dr. Pat, I believe that that's one of the best things that a person can do right now is get involved in the deliverance, get educated, because Satan knows his time is short. Isn't it logical that he's going to unleash his hounds of hell to come
yes.
out and,
yes.
you know, he's going to launch every kind of weapon he can. You know, Satan comes
yes.
to kill, steal, and destroy. And I've had people that I loved killed. I mean, I've seen them killed, rather, by the enemy. I've had things stolen from me. I've seen relationships destroyed. And frankly, I personally am tired of Satan and his attacks. So, folks, when you get tired of it, you'll do something about it.
Well,
and if you
exactly
want to do something
right.
about it and give the devil a black eye, or as one brother says, I won't only give him a black eye, I'll punch him under the belt, too. He says,
"We were talking
he says, get
about,
into deliverance.
We were talking about binding international and national state and city devils.
Yes.
Newsletters that I've written on the Statue of Liberty are very powerful. And the Statue of Liberty is more than just a friendly idol sitting up in New York Harbor. The Statue of Liberty is an idol that was placed there by the world Illuminatist in the 1700s. And what it was placed there was to do was to change America from Christianity and Judaism to idolatry. And God used a little fellow by the name of, or a little minister by the name of A.A. Allen. And he wrote a vision that God gave him of the end of America. And one day that vision came across my hand, and the Lord said, I want to show you something about this vision. I've written about 6 newsletters on that. Some of them are up on Remnant, and I think 3 of them are up on mine. Some of them are over on Scribd.
By the way, Dr. Holliday, do you know what time it is right now?
No.
It's 9-1-1.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Listen, I've been seeing 9-11 for the past couple weeks. I'm either seeing 9-1-1 or 3-3-3. But I wanted another witness to that. And I believe that God is trying to actually wake us up and say, red alert, something is getting ready to take place on this country again. Go ahead.
Well, it's taking place now.
Yes.
And so, you're going to have, when you read my newsletters, you just don't read them. You have to think. You have to run the little links, and you have to take time for the Lord to show you, because it's spiritual and supernatural. And so what A.A. Allen saw, he saw the destruction of America, and he saw the Statue of Liberty down in the Gulf of Mexico, which the Lord showed me when George Bush was in office. They were trying to open up the highway from Mexico to Canada. And the Lord showed me then, he said, the Statue of Liberty is going to go to the Gulf. That was several years ago. I think Clinton was in office even. And so he has shown me the symbology of what he showed A.A. Allen. And it is tremendous and horrific because
yes.
of the fact that he saw the skeleton bending over Canada and Alaska and blowing this great big gray puff of smoke out across our country.
Wow.
And people dropping dead and the Statue of Liberty being down in the Gulf, and she dies down in the Gulf. Well, friends, it's going on right now down in the Gulf. The Illuminati's in the Gulf. And see, God takes from that Statue of Liberty in A.A. Allen's vision, he takes a cup out of her hand, the flame out of her hand, and he says, drink out of this cup. Well, a lot of people don't realize it, but originally the Statue of Liberty had a cup in her hand, and when you compare her, she actually is the woman in Revelation 17, the mystery of iniquity. And she has a cup in her hand there of every
yes.
evil in the world. Well, he commands the Statue of Liberty to drink. She drinks Well, first she refuses. He makes her drink, and then the gray smoke comes, kills her. People start dropping dead all over the country. Nobody defends us, which you can see happening now. Obama's playing golf every day and entertaining sports figures. What happens is then he sees on the East Coast and the West Coast, he sees streaks of lightning come up or lights come up, and this time he sees streaks coming up from around the country. Well, the Lord spoke to me when the first article I wrote, and he said they come up from their underground cities, and they're going to defend themselves, but they wouldn't defend the people. Well,
yes.
I didn't know about underground cities, and I had to go up on the website and type in underground cities, and sure enough, they've got underground cities all over the country and all over the world. And so he said what A.A. Allen didn't know what they were, he said, the only thing I can say is they're like that bomb that they exploded over in the desert. And what they are is missiles. And so we're right there, right now, that skeleton is going to bend over from Russia over Canada and Alaska and blow those puffs of smoke. And remember, we've got those chemtrails. And
yes.
So here we are defenselessly unless the Lord does something for us, and Christians dancing and falling on the floor like cows and mooing and laughing like idiots. And I mean, you think you're in an insane asylum when you go to some of these churches, and we're right at the brink of the end before the Lord returns. And so I would challenge them to go up and read those newsletters, but don't read my newsletters and think you're just going to rush through them, because you got to study what I do.
I would have to agree with everything you said. I mean, look, we have huge bunker complexes from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast, folks. One of the largest is, of course, over the new Denver International Airport. That's a huge FEMA base. We've got multiple ones in different parts of the country, and there is no continuity plan for you and I that has been set up by the government. They have no, contingency plans. They don't have food planned to feed you and I. They don't have room for you in their underground bunkers. It's for the elite. It's for the people that are meeting out at the Bohemian Grove right now as we speak for the next 2 weeks over along the Russian River. It's for those that are in the G20, you know, big corporate executives, they don't care about you and I. And so the only hope that we've got, folks, is not to look to the government for help, but to look to Jesus Christ. And that's more than sufficient. But if you don't know Christ, you don't want to waste much time, because when these things start to happen, it says men's hearts will fail them for fear. I remember, Dr. Holliday, I was living in the Republic of Panama back in 2005. I remember that time for several reasons. That's when the Lord told me that Christians can be under generational curses, and I had one. God revealed to me in a dream. He says, you and your brother have a generational curse you need to break. And I was like, uh-oh. Well, that's a different story. But what I found out in 2005, back to your point, is a good friend of mine, one of the largest freeze-dry manufacturers in America, freeze-dry foods, that is, suppliers, told me they were running the machines around the clock, and this was in 2005, and the government was buying up all the high-quality, long-term storage foods they could. And he said high-quality protein. I'm talking like ribeye steaks. And I didn't even know they made those kind of meals. And he says they're all going underground. And this was, you know, back around the time of Katrina even, and they're still doing that to this day, folks. The government knows something's coming. Even the New World Order will kind of hint as to their plans. And they kind of like to brag and telegraph it somewhat. And I say that with this new movie that came out, Dr. Holliday. There's a new movie that came out Friday night called Salt. And I have to be very selective in the movies that I watch, because I know that they can be a demonic gateway.
Yeah.
But I did go out and see this movie, and it's clean in respect to, you know, no nudity, things like that. But the message it gave me, it was like, uh-oh, my jaw dropped. And I don't want to spoil the movie, but Needless to say, let's just say that they talk about some of these underground bunkers. They talk about a plot to take out some of our government figures. And they even wove in the Russian Spetsnaz troops. I think it kind of interesting that what has happened in the last 2 weeks? We've had a group of moles caught here in America. One of them was actually a very beautiful girl, which was up on Facebook. I think that's the one probably most people remember. And we did a trade. I think some of our, like 10 of our people that we captured in exchange for some that they had over there. Folks, this is all right out of prophecy of what's coming. I mean, you know, prophets like Dmitry Duderman saw the day where there'll be a civil riot in America. And while the government is busy fighting that, the Russian Spetsnaz troops are going to attack our nuclear power plants. I mean, you know, you can go on and on. The prophecies are grim and dire, Dr. Holliday, that there's a day coming where this country is going to be overrun. We're going to be attacked by our enemies. We've got a lot of enemies, quite frankly. And when this happens, the government, it's like, you know, every man for itself. They're going underground. You and I are going to be up on the surface. With no protection if we don't have Jesus Christ.
You know, I interviewed Duderman when he was in the country.
Wow, Dmitry Duderman, yes.
Yeah, very interesting. I believe his grandson was with him.
Yes, and, Michael Boldea.
Yeah.
He would interpret for Dmitry because Dmitry didn't speak English, and Michael Boldea is a real man of God. If you're interested in some of these prophecies we're talking about, you can check out their website at handofhelp.com and go read the Vision for America. I could do a couple shows with you just on that, but I better get back to point here. I've got a couple questions coming in. Dr. Holliday, what can a person do? Okay, here's a question that came in. It said basically they've got a loved one that they're praying for and trying to work with, and they believe that person has a schizophrenic situation. They're multiple personality. You know, they've got multiple demons. And they really have a lot of conflict because they live under the same roof, the girl with her mother. What can this girl do for her mother? And she's been binding these demons, but she's not sure that it's actually taken effect. Is there any kind of visual sign you can look for to know that spiritual warfare you're doing on behalf of a loved one is actually working?
Well, you know, I have a book on schizophrenia, and it's called Chart Book Schizophrenia,
okay.
And I think there's several of them up there, but she can get that book on Miracle Internet Church and take the book and bind the devils that are operating in her. And put them in a cage, like we described, get people to pray with her. And then she can also, every place she goes that are Christians, ask them to pray for her mother.
Okay.
And it'll work. Eventually it'll work when she does that.
Now, let me tell you something. I have been in a situation the last 6 months where we've had several people in contact with us, and we've been doing deliverance by phone. We've had some real severe cases. A couple people were suicidal when the call came through to pray with them. I dealt with one lady who, she was actually all the way over in India, and it was actually a friend of a good friend of mine, so it was a sister. The point I'm making is this girl would wake up at night and pick up a pillow and just start beating her mother with it. She would take her hands and put it around her throat and start choking herself, and when I was asked to get involved, it was they said that the girl was hearing voices which said, throw yourself from the balcony. And so, you know, we've had a lot of cases coming in. I know you get them all the time. I've been there actually when I saw people set free of demons in the church here at Miracle. And I know as a result, when you get into spiritual warfare, Satan's not happy when you start evicting his folks. You know, there's some people that have had demons living there inside them for decades even, and when you kick them out and evict them in Jesus' name and a person gets set free, sometimes the enemy will turn its sights on the deliverance worker, and you'll come under attack. I guess they use the term backlash. Well, what can a person do who's listening out there and says, I want to do what Jesus said, and I want to cast out demons, and they start getting into deliverance? What happens when the attacks come? Is it true that there's actually witches and warlocks out there that pray against Christians, especially deliverance workers, and try to attack them?
Well, yes, but you see, that's where your defensive warfare comes in, and whenever you pray, and if a demon or a witch or a warlock dares to rise up against a Christian that knows how to defend themselves, they're going to get it right back into their own face, and they don't usually mess with me much, but it's sometime it's
relate some experiences you've had, and then tell us, give us a little bit more info on what we can do in spiritual defense,
okay,
to protect ourselves. Because
okay.
If I understand correctly, you've got these people out there, these witches and warlocks, they'll actually astral project, and they'll go over and they'll scan a person. Is that correct?
Yeah, what they do is, see, there are dumb witches and wizards, and there are smart witches and wizards. Now, Bishop Kanko would be considered a smart wizard because he was trained as a kid and was going to take over his family's throne. And so a smart wizard knows that there's a power that's greater than theirs. And they also know that there are people that walk around with that greater power. And they know that if they touch that person, that whatever they are trying to do to that person will fall back on them. And so what they'll do is, witches soul travel, or they astral project. Their spirits will come out of their bodies, and they can go anywhere in the world. And they will come, as I described earlier, where Bishop Kanko said they'd stand about 500 feet away from a real Christian. And they would scan that person to see if there's any open doors. If a person has an alcoholic problem, a cigarette problem, a drug problem, or a lust problem, whatever it is, that's an open door. And so they would be able to come and attack a Christian like that.
Okay.
However, if a Christian gets delivered and has all of the doorways closed, then what will happen is that demon can't come close, won't come close. But now, every now and then, you get one of these people, or many of them in America, they read books on witchcraft, go to movies and TV, and
yes,
they start practicing their little trade, and they can do a little bit of this, and they make a teacher fall down on the ground, or little things, you know. They can control their mommies and their daddies and things like that, and they think they're powerful. Well, they come and they start trying to do something to someone like me.
Yes.
And what would happen to them is, I don't ask the demon, what witch do you come from, where do you come from? I just say, I command the devil that is attacking me to leave instantly, right now, and go back to wherever you came from. Well, what happens is that devil goes back, and if it is a witch that's attacking you, it's going to do to that witch what it was supposed to do to you.
Okay.
Now,
so it's like return to sender. You know, it's like they're sending their curses against you, their demon spirits to attack you. You don't have to sit there and take that, do you? So you're
No, because Psalms 109, for instance, says, for they love curses more than they love blessings. Let it be to them. And then you've got the argument where somebody will say, well, Christians are not supposed to curse anyone. You're not cursing anyone. What you're doing is this. You're saying, devil, you came from X. You go back to X. And, Lord, if X is ever going to be saved, if this is one of yours, we ask that you save them.
Yes. Okay,
I've
so you're actually blessing them.
You're blessing them, exactly. I had a little witch over in Tampa.
Okay.
And she stole my book, The Walking Dead. And whenever she picked it up, it burned her hands. So then she sent for some tapes, same thing. So she told some workers at her apartment that she couldn't listen to the tapes or read the books because they burned her hands.
Oh, wow.
They said, we'll take them and read them. We can read them. They came back and said, oh, that's just some old crazy preacher woman. And so she decided to send her strong devil over to see who I was. So the devil came over, and it came back to her caged. And it said to her, we cannot, she said, I can hear you, but I can't see you. Where are you? Said, that woman caged us, and we can never serve you again.
Wow.
And so she said, well, I'm going to call up some stronger devils than you. So she called up Squash Blossom, which is an Indian devil that makes those necklaces that Indians wear on their chest.
Okay.
And so Squash Blossom told her, said, the only way I'll go is if you conjure up a whole bunch of others. So she did a lot of more blood sacrifices and conjured up a whole bunch of devils and sent them over. And they came back to her, and she couldn't see them. And they said, that woman caged us, and she's praying for you. Said, you call her and tell her to quit praying for you, and we can never serve you again. And she called and put it on my answering phone, stop praying for me. And so we continued to pray for her, and she got in her truck and came over. And as I was going to a meeting, she told me who she was. I said, well, get in my car. We'll take you to the meeting. She got saved in the meeting, and she became my assistant on the road for several years.
Wow, and praise God.
So, I mean, we had superior power. We just have to know how to use it.
There's a question that has just come in. Let me just read it to you. It says, what is your opinion about, let's say, clever witches who send the ignorant servants they have required, people who willingly stand in between and use them to send their curses, that way the witch never gets whacked?
Well,
have you seen that done before?
Let me tell you something. When I send those devils back and I say, you go back to where you came from, if she has executed that demon, the woman that she has used, the adept, will get whacked, and she'll get whacked too, because those devils have to go back and accomplish what I tell them to do, because I'm in charge of them, not her.
What is meant by ley lines and, you know, cutting ley lines or cutting demonic silver cords? How can that be effective?
Okay, what a ley line is, like a spiritual pathway. If you know some people, certain people that study the occult worldwide, they'll talk to you about ley lines. Like Washington, D.C. is all put on ley lines, the way it's constructed. And what ley lines are, they're supernatural avenues that take them like they're from one place to another. And they line them up with certain occult places in the world. And the witches use them to travel on, is the way I understand it. And the silver cord is spoken of in the Bible. And what it is it's the connection of your soul to your body. And that soul, as long as it's connected to your body, can come out of your body and fly anywhere in the world and come back, and the person will be alive. But If somebody cuts that silver cord and the witch is out of the wizard's out of the body, they will die. Now, Bishop Kanko describes going down into the city under the sea. And the first time in my book that I wrote called Witch Doctor and the Man, City Under the Sea. And he describes that his daddy took him to the rock by the sea, and he fed him a very powerful, strong potion. And he said that the dad took his foot, just tapped the sea, and the sea parted, and they started walking down into the sea. And then he describes the city under the sea and his activities of learning wizardry under the sea. He says that some of the most powerful people in the world go down up under the sea. Leaders, people that you know every day in powerful offices. And so he describes that when he came out of the body, he and his daddy, he turned and looked, and he said two demons came into the body and stayed in the body until they returned to keep the body alive. That's what he says in that book.
I've heard of people actually cutting some of these demonic cords, and someone would drop right into the room and hit the floor dead.
Well, I haven't heard of that yet.
That'd be pretty shocking.
Yeah, I don't doubt anything.
We've got another question here. It says, Dr. Holly, what is your opinion on Rebecca Brown and some of the books that she wrote? Is she is she actually a witch, or is she a believer who came out of witchcraft?
I believe that if she's a believer, she's a very stupid believer. If she's a witch, she gives the devil a lot of power in her books, and she never gives Jesus very much power. I did an expose on her about probably 10 years ago or so. The book is up on my website, Exposure of Rebecca Brown or something. There's something up there on her. But what she did, actually, when I did the expose, she had Elaine with her at the time.
Right.
And some kind of witchcraft would happen. Let's say, and it's been a long time since I've even looked at that woman, but let's say that I remember that Elaine was in the room and Rebecca Brown came in the room, and she says that there was a local Satanist soul traveling, and that the Satanist had taken possession of Elaine, and she used the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus didn't work. And she said the Holy Ghost told her that the name of Jesus doesn't work with human spirits because they're rebellious, and that they don't have to use the name of Jesus or something like that.
Yeah, it's, I think I read that. She basically said you can fight demon spirits, but you can't fight a human spirit.
Well, you see, the demons. I've had within the last year, I know it was a wizard that came into my room, and a witch that came into my room, took one look at me, and turned around and disappeared because they recognized who I am by the spirit.
Praise
I'm
God.
Telling you that she writes from the point of view that Jesus has no power, but the devil has all kinds of power. And that's not the only place where she says stuff like that. So you just need to get the book if you're interested in knowing. It's up on the e-books on my web pages.
Okay, let me go to another question. So let's just say on a daily basis, would you recommend that a person do some spiritual warfare, because you never know who's hurling word curses at you or sending demon spirits to astral project and attack you. What can the person do on a daily basis? Should we be, you know, like a prayer, like, You know, I break all hexes, vexes, curses, and spells. Command any demon spirits in Jesus' name to go back
that.
Where they. I mean, what
they
do you recommend?
I recommend that they get them a good strong prayer and bind the devils from coming, the witches.
Okay.
Command them if they come that they have to return. Ask the Lord to send warring angels to link around their homes, and the wall of fire of the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 2:5. That works.
Yes. Tell us about the wall of fire and how it was applied overseas.
Bishop Kenko, he had this woman in his church, and once a month they have dinner in their family homes, and it was supposed to be in this lady's home, and certain person has to bring the meat. And it was turned for a witch to bring the meat to the family gathering, and so she said, Bishop, what should I do? He said, I put the wall of fire around my home every night. He said, I suggest that you put the wall of fire of the Holy Ghost around your room, around your house, to protect your family.
Okay.
The next day, when she got up, the witch was found on the other side of her property, and she was burnt all over her body.
Wow, they'd had a barbecue out there.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, okay, so for example, where I'm at right now, could I tonight, before I go to bed, could I just, you know, command any demons within the sound of my voice to leave my room in Jesus' name and then ask God to loose his warrior angels to encircle my apartment?
Yeah.
And stand guard over it? And,
yeah.
In
and
Jesus'
the wall
name?
Of fire. And
the wall
always
of fire?
Remember, Jesus is his name. And he is over. All the heavens are at his beck and call. The legions wait at his door. The cherubim and the seraphim, the watchers, the holy ones, the powers, the principalities, everything that has breath has to bow to the name of Jesus and praise his name. And always remember, when you're in a warfare and you command a devil to bow to his knees, have you ever seen a boxer try to fight on his knees?
Kind of hard.
Can't do it, can he?
No.
So you have superior power in every area. You've got 2/3 more of angels than the devil has. You've got an angel that in the book of Revelation, when it comes time to arrest the devil, he stands in front of the sun, and he's so big, he hides the sun. The sun's darkened because of his presence. He's so big. I was attacking a spirit not long ago, and it wasn't leaving. And I said, Lord, how about sending that big old angel that stands in front of the sun and make this devil accountable to his name, to
wow.
your name. And boy, that thing moved. You see, we have power. We
yes,
have lots of power, and we have dominion.
I believe that's the
them.
Loosing part, you know. And you know,
yeah,
I know we
is.
Don't command angels, but we can ask God to do things on our behalf. And I believe that we can say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I ask that you would loose your warrior angels down right now.
Now, Bruce, that is the difference between what we're talking about tonight and the third wave people like Bentley and Joyner and Peter Wagner. They command angels, give them names and command them, and the angels come into the room and they spread gold and false
yes.
things around. They command those angels. They are fallen angels.
Yes.
Jesus said, I could ask my Father, and he would send legions of angels to me. So Jesus gave us
go.
The key that whatever he did, we can do. So
yes.
we can ask the Father, because he's in charge of the host of heaven, and the Father will dispatch those angels to help us in spiritual warfare. But we can't go around giving them names like M.O., which you
yeah.
ought to read some of those articles that I wrote, and the angel of the republic, the angel of this, the angel of freedom, the angel of, I think they got a financial angel now. See, that is error. Everything we do in the name of Jesus,
yes,
by the authority of his word. Everything we do, that's the way we operate.
So we make a request. The request goes up to the throne room. God takes it, stamps it approved, and then those angels are loosed to do warfare on our behalf in Jesus' name. Dr. Holliday, we've got about 15 minutes left. I'd like to go ahead and have you, if you would, give out your websites again, and then with the time remaining, go ahead and do like a mini mass deliverance for those that are listening. Could we do that?
Yeah, we can do that.
That'd be great.
My webpage is patholliday.com, and the other one is miracleinternetchurch.com. Miracleinternetchurch.com.
And I'm also going to put those links up on the website. Go ahead, sister.
And then I have remnant resourcenetwork.org.
Awesome. And now that last one that you mentioned, remnantresourced.org, is that correct?
Remnantresourcenetwork.org.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
That's Paul Pilgrim's.
Okay, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage everybody listening to go over to the websites, get on Dr. Holliday's mailing list, listen to her materials, get some of those e-books. That's some of the best investment you can make right now. Look, we don't know, Dr. Holliday, when the Internet could even go down. I mean, it could go down at any time if the New World Order has its opportunity to
That's
do that. And we need to have these materials in our hands so we can do warfare. I'm going to turn the mic over to you, and we've got people listening in live and also that will get this on the archive. How about leading us in a mass deliverance and clear some of the groundwork? The shrubs, as they say.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over all of the demons that everyone has opened up any doors for. One of the demons that is so scary to people is the spirit of fear. And we bind the spirit of fear. We bind to that spirit ill health, sickness, accidents, hospitalizations, cancers, every devil of inheritance of illnesses in Jesus' name. We cage that spirit. We bind traumas, accidents, violence, frights, threats, rape, incest, heart attacks, fears, phobias, nightmares, and horrors. And we command that to go into the cage. We bind it to traumas. We bind the spirit of heredity, according to Leviticus 20:27. Fearful parents, grandparents, we come against and bind all occultism, witchcraft, heredity, witchcraft, rebellion, Freemasonry. We cut all of the ties and ley lines. We come against every dedication to Satan, every blood sacrifice, and we command all of those devils to go into a cage. All ritualistic spirits, child abuse, spiritualism, human sacrifices. We come against child sexual abuse and child physical abuse in the name of Jesus and get into the cage. We bind divinating spirits, fortune tellers coming down the family lines, soothsayers, magic, stargazers, zodiac, horoscopes, a warlock, witches, inherited spirits coming down in Jesus' name, sorcerers, hypnotists. I want you to say, right where you are, say, Lord Jesus, I repent. I repent from myself, for all witchcraft and occultism, astrology, family witchcraft, divination, every occult spirit, all the movies that I've been to, television, everything that I have ever done in these areas, God, I repent. I ask you, God, that you take them from me right now. I command those spirits to come out of me right now, instantly and immediately. You cannot stay. The blood of Jesus is inside of me, and he's in my mind, my spirit, and my flesh. And he separates me from you, and you will leave immediately. Lord Jesus, the Bible says that you are the deliverer, and you're standing right in front of me now. And I ask you, God, that you will deliver me from all of these spirits instantly now. And I give you the glory. Now take some deep breaths and just breathe them out. If you feel like you got a cough, cough them out, and they will have to obey. Father God, we ask that you send your warring angels and make these devils accountable to the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory right now that it is done because Jesus came to set the captives free. We give you praise and glory, God. We give you praise and glory. We bind all of the spirits of bondage, all of the seducing spirits. We cage them. Addictions, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, food, fear of death, servants of corruption. We come against every spirit that we have done concerning sacrifices, blood sacrifices, watching movies, films, televisions that we shouldn't watch, reading magazines, books, all kinds of things that are bondages to us go into the cage. And seducing spirits, we bind hypocritical lies, false prophets. And if you've had some of these third wave prophets in the church prophesying over you,
yes,
reject it. You don't need people like that prophesying over you. In the name of Jesus, get into the cage. False signs and wonders, the Kundalini spirit, we cut its tail. We command that thing to start traveling right up the spine in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirit of Leviathan. We cut its tail. It must leave the mind, the octopus spirit up in the mind of mind control. We cut your legs. We command those spirits to come out of the mind. All mind control spirits leave right now in the name of Jesus. We bind the python spirit that keeps us bound and makes us have heart attacks and takes our finances away and just binds us up. We cut that thing up in a million little pieces and command it to loose us right now in Jesus' name. We command the viper spirits to come out of our bellies and all poison to leave our bodies right now. In Jesus' name, every illness of cancer, leukemia, blood diseases, all kinds of diseases of arthritis, every ungodly thing that has come to enforce itself against us, heart attacks, get out now in the name of Jesus, and I forbid you to stay. Now take some deep breaths and just breathe them out and cough them out in Jesus' name. Now I want you to say, Holy Ghost, I ask that you come in, fill me with your Holy Spirit and fire, and take your fire, O God, and burn every devil out in the name of Jesus, and overflow, God, overflow from my head to my feet, every part of me filled with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name right now. We thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus, for you are the King of glory. I feel you from my head to my feet. I feel you in my stomach. Every devil has to obey the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I ask that you take those angels and command them to bring these devils to the feet of Jesus, to judge them before their time. You said in your word that we shall judge angels. And Father, we judge these angels because they've touched us. And we're Christians, and we belong to Jesus, and they're trespassers, and they have no right to touch our bodies in any way. And so, Lord, we ask Jesus to judge them before their time. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen. Praise God. I'm not ashamed to say I just got some deliverance. I started to yawn, especially when you mentioned movies.
Yeah, amen.
So, you know, hey, every demon out is one less in. Praise God.
Yes.
And Dr. Holliday?
Strange, tell them to watch out for the strange touch. People
yes.
touching them. Don't go into meetings, let people lay hands on them. Don't go in the store and let people come up and touch them. If anybody touches you, you do defensive warfare right away and say, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. I picked a spirit of cancer up yesterday at a funeral where an African man touched me. And I was praying with another woman, and the Lord showed it to me. I took authority, and wind came right out of my vagina. I hate
Good
to
God.
Say it.
What did you say?
I said, I take authority over cancers. And the wind came out. I said, my God, he
Good
transferred
God.
A spirit on me. And I knew what his spirit was because I discerned it, but he was sitting in the line with the family, and I had to kiss every family member, and I thought, what can I do? So I kissed
him.
God
have mercy.
So I took authority, and the Lord had mercy and delivered me.
Praise God.
You've got to be careful, man. You've got to be careful this day and time.
So if you believe, you know, I was sitting in a food court, and some lady walked up and put her hand on my shoulder, and I said, uh-oh. I looked around, and I said, who are you? You know,
you do defensive warfare.
I think they did a magic touch, so what do I do?
You speak it right out. They don't know what you're doing. Say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for your blood. I just bind that up in the name of Jesus and command it to leave now. And I did it to my dad one time. I took authority over a devil, and his head shook, and he looked at me, and he said, what did you say? So they don't even know what you're saying when you do it.
Praise God. Dr. Holliday,
been fun.
Hey, this has been great. The time just flew by. I'm going to have you on again really soon.
Okay.
For someone listening right now who might be in the Jacksonville area and like to come out to the church, what is your schedule of services out there?
We pray on Friday night. On Tuesday, we also do deliverance on Friday and Tuesday nights. And then we have a Sunday morning service at 11:30. Tuesdays at 7, Fridays at 7:30. And I want to thank you for playing my song. It's up on my webpage also.
Not only that, but you've got several other selections up there. So I would challenge everybody to go over there and listen to Dr. Holliday's songs. They're anointed music. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I needed that. Thank you.
Dr. Holliday, I got about 60 seconds remaining, so I want to say God bless you. Thank you for coming on tonight. And I will be putting the links up to your websites and our show notes and encourage everybody to go over there and check it out.
Amen. And tell them to walk in his dominion against the chancre worms, the caterpillars, and the palmer worms, and bind them, and you'll defeat the army of the devil. In Jesus' name.
Praise God. God bless you, Dr. Holliday. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Omega Man Radio. That was special guest Dr. Pat Holliday. If you tuned into this late, the MP3 will be up in the archives in about 20 minutes. Shouts out to all my friends, Jackie, Zoe Mortal slipping through the portal. And all the others from Dr. Holliday's church that tuned in tonight, God bless you all. And hope to see you at Miracle Internet Church. If you're in Jacksonville, go over to the church. You'll be really blessed. So God bless you, and I'll see you again soon.
And the devil, he has lost the battle. He has lost. The Lord has won it. Yes, he has. Oh, yes, Lord.
Choose you this day who you're going to serve.
There's a guy up here that called me lukewarm. I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be on fire. I want to do it. I want to be on fire.
And I just pray that you'll take this from me. There's a way. And he's it.
And I thank you, Lord. I'm in your hands now. And I tell you what, I'm alive. I'm alive. I've been dead. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive.
Yeah. I'm alive.
And Jesus came to them and said,
all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations.
And right now, he's calling out to you, and he's saying, Lazarus, come forth! Lazarus, come forth!
And you'll have that joy. It's not a joy in the world to give you in Jesus' name!
Well, folks, this is where Jesus called us to. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, baptizing in the name of Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I've given you all authority. Trample on scorpions and serpents, rock and roll, lust demons, witchcraft demons, sorcery demons, false religion demons. Nothing shall hurt you, Jesus said. The church, I ask you, do you believe God or do you believe your fears? Are you going to stay in your church building where it's nice and warm and safe? You can all say, praise the Lord, give each other hugs. Are you going to come out here where Jesus commanded you to go? He said, I send you as sheep among wolves. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so sent I you. Why are you not going out into the streets to proclaim the gospel that you claim that you believe so much, but yet you don't do what Jesus said? How can you say you love him? How can you say, Lord, Lord, and not obey what he said to do? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're his slave. Does a slave disobey the master? What happens to that slave? I believe it's in Matthew 25. Jesus told the parable, what will happen to those slaves who disobey. It says that God will command the angels to bind hand and foot and to throw into outer darkness. There's going to be a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth among churchgoers who disobey Jesus' clear command to preach the gospel to everyone, instant, in season and out of season. He didn't say for the pastor to do it. He didn't say to invite people to come to church to hear a play or to hear a song sung. He said, go with your mouth, preach. If you can't do that, at least you can hand out gospel tracts. Here's one, Royal Identity Theft. Goes through the Ten Commandments, reveals their sins. Ten Commandments is tied to our conscience. Everybody has a conscience. They know when they've lied. They know it's wrong to steal. They know it's wrong to look with lust. They know it's wrong to not love God above everybody and everything else. So that's our weapon. The Ten Commandments. You show the mirror in front of sinners and ask them, have you ever told a lie? And if they say yes, you ask them, what does that make you? And they'll usually say, human. And you say, well, more specifically, if I told a lie to you, what would you call me? And they'll say, a liar. I said, right. And then you go on to the next law, like, have you ever stolen anything? And they'll say, no. And I'll say, come on, you just admitted you're a liar. I don't believe you. Okay, yeah, once when I was a kid. I said, okay, what do you call people who steal stuff? And they'll say, a stealer. And then you can give a little humor and say, no, that's a football player. You don't look like a linebacker. Say, no, you're a thief. And then you go on to another one of the Ten Commandments, like adultery. Well, you say, have you ever told them you're molested? And they'll say, whatever. And probably if they're a man, they'll say, yeah, because they're under conviction already for not telling the truth before. And they'll say, yeah, everybody, you know. And then you say, well, Jesus said, if you look with lust, you're an adulterer in your heart. And then you go on to another commandment. And that's how it works, folks. It's easy. You just bring them through the law, and then you say, well, look, would you be innocent or guilty if God were to judge you by the Ten Commandments when he hauls you into his courtroom after you die? And they'll say, guilty. And I say, well, does that concern you? Because do you think God will let you come into heaven or hell when you don't pass your exam there in his courtroom? Do you deserve heaven or hell? And if they're honest, they'll say hell, because their conscience is convicting them. They know they're guilty. If they say heaven, you say, why? Because, and they'll say, well, God is forgiving God. He's love. And I said, look, if you go into a courtroom out here on earth, will a judge, because he's a loving person and a nice father,